بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على نبينا محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قدر التقى. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Respected elders, brothers, and mothers and sisters, I want to start off by wishing Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem to all my brothers and sisters who are fasting today and who have commenced the month of Ramadan. And at the same time, I would like to extend Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem to all our brothers and sisters who will be starting their Ramadan tonight. And tonight they will be performing their first Taraweeh, and tomorrow will be their first fast. And while our hearts wish and our hearts desire that we could have all started fasting on the same day and we could all have had a united Ramadan, but my dear respected brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to put our emotions aside and remind ourselves that unity is not always in uniformity. Unity is not always in uniformity. While we try to achieve uniformity, but if for some reason, my dear respected brothers and sisters, we cannot achieve uniformity on a specific issue, that does not mean that we are disunited. That does not mean that there is discord in our community. And I know this is something that might be a little bit difficult for many of us to digest. But the reality, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that differences in matters of deen, differences of opinions in matters of deen, is not something that started today. This is not something that the scholars created. This is not something that the imams created. Rather, differences of opinion is something which existed from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Rather, differences of opinion existed from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear respected brothers and sisters, in our deen, in our sharia, there are certain matters which are called qat'i. They are decisive, very clear and concrete commandments mentioned in the Holy Quran, in which there is no room for difference of opinion, in which there is no room for interpretation. For example, the obligation of the 5 times daily salah. This is something that is undisputed. And anyone who denies the obligation of the five times daily salah cannot even be considered a Muslim. On the other hand, the details of salah, how many fara'id are there, how many sunan are there, how many nawafil are there, what are the different actions in salah, these are called dhanni. These are called speculative matters in which there can be a difference of opinion, there can be a difference in understanding, and there can be different interpretations, and there can be multiple opinions. And my dear respected brothers and sisters, there is nothing wrong with having multiple opinions. Rather, we learn from one incident that took place in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum also had a difference of opinion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not criticize any one group. After the battle of Khandaq, Sayyiduna Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, he instructed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the Muslims should now head to Banu Qurayza. They had just finished the battle of Khandaq. They had just started resting. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes with an emergency order. He comes with an emergency instruction to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tell the Muslims to go to Banu Qurayza. Now Banu Qurayza was 2 hours away. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent a person to make an announcement amongst the people that everyone should head to Banu Qurayza and perform their Asr Salah at Banu Qurayza. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the wording he used was that no one should perform their Asr except in Banu Qurayza. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, they obeyed the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they started heading towards Banu Qurayza. And most of the Sahaba, they got to Banu Qurayza by the time of Asr. However, there were a few groups, a small group of Sahaba, who headed out a bit late. They received the instructions a little bit late. And if they waited till they reached Banu Qurayza, the time for Asr Salah would have expired, and their Asr Salah would have become Qadha. So now amongst this group, there was a discussion and there was a back and forth between this group of Sahaba. One group said, no, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has instructed us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has instructed us not to perform our Asr except in Banu Qurayza. So we will not perform our Asr until we reach Banu Qurayza. The second group of Sahaba in this group, their opinion was no. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam meant was everybody should hurry up and everybody should get to Banu Qurayza by Asr time. And the intent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to make the Sahaba and to make us hurry up. So because we are late and the time for Asr is about to expire, we are going to perform our Asr Salah now. So both groups, they practice on what their opinion was. One group, they performed their Asr Salah immediately and they did not wait till they reached Banu Qurayza. And the second group of Sahaba, they did not perform their Salatul Asr. Rather, the time of Asr expired. They got to Banu Qurayza and they performed their Salatul Asr in Banu Qurayza. Now, subhanallah, in one narration, the words that are used to explain this difference of opinion and this difference in practice is absolutely astonishing. Sayyiduna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, فَصَلَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا وَتَرَكَتْ طَائِفَةٌ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Subhanallah. فَصَلَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. One group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they performed their salah with full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in hope of receiving the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرَكَتْ طَائِفَةٌ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. And another group, they did not read their salah. They left their salah. They made their salah qadha, إيمانا wahtisaban, in full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of hope in earning the reward and receiving the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What did Aisha radiallahu anha say? One group performed their salah hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another group did not perform their salah with the hope of receiving the same reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we can apply the exact words of these hadith to our situation today. One group of Muslims is fasting today, imanan, wahtisaban, because of their iman and their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ihtisaban, expecting and hoping reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other group who is not fasting today, they are also not fasting, imanan, wahtisaban, because of their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of ihtisab and hoping to receive the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they feel that they are doing the correct thing. And we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal, He rewards both groups according to their sincere intentions. Then, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this group of sahaba, they go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they relayed what happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he does not criticize any of the groups. Rather, he affirms the practice of both the groups, and he did not say that one was right and one was wrong. So this difference of opinion exists from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een had many differences of opinion amongst themselves. And if you open any book of hadith, the six most famous books of hadith, whether it is Sahih al-Bukhari, whether it is Sahih Muslim, whether it is Jami' al-Tirmidhi, whether it is Abu Dawood, you will find one hadith, and under that hadith you will find multiple opinions and different opinions of how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood those ahadith and how they derived rulings from those ahadith. And my dear respected brothers and sisters, these differences of opinions that existed within the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, through the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they later on became categorized through the schools of jurisprudence, whether it is the Hanafi madhab, whether it is the Shafi'i madhab, whether it is the Maliki madhab, whether it is the Hanbali madhab. These rulings and these differences that existed within the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they were categorized so that it would be easy for the layman and the normal person to practice the deen. And throughout the history of Islam, the followers of the different madhahib, they always respected one another. They respected differences of opinion. They performed salah behind one another, and they took benefit from one another. And this difference of opinion, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is what makes our deen so beautiful. And from the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He adopted in the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented instructions in the Holy Quran, we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intentionally used certain wordings so that there can be a scope of difference of opinion. There can be some scope for a difference of interpretation. My dear respected brothers and sisters, a bouquet of flowers looks more beautiful when the flowers have different colors. And that is why when we perform our salah in the masjid, some brothers, they will say Ameen loudly. Some brothers will say Ameen quietly. Some brothers will raise their hands when they are going into ruku', and some brothers will keep their hands down when going into ruku'. All of these are completely valid opinions that existed from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. The beloved grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Qasim ibn Muhammad, who was a great faqih and who was a great jurist, he used to say that the difference of opinion that existed between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, that is something that created flexibility in our deen. That is something that created flexibility and ease in our religion. a person during the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, he authored a book. He authored a book on the differences of these scholars, and he was going to name this book Kitabul Ikhtilaf. Kitabul Ikhtilaf, the book of differences. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala was a great scholar of that time. He advised this author. He said, لا تسميه كتاب الاختلاف. Don't name your book كتاب الاختلاف, ولكن سميه كتاب السعة. Rather call it the book of flexibility. Rather call it the book of easiness, the book of flexibility. If there was no difference of opinion in Sharia, then that would create rigidity in our Sharia. Rather, this difference of opinion creates ease and it creates flexibility. During the time of the King Ma'mun Rashid, there was a man who was a Muslim and then he left the fold of Islam. He became a Murtad, he left the fold of Islam. So Ma'mun Rashid, he invited him to the court to clear any doubts that he had, any misunderstandings that he had about the religion of Islam. So he asks this person that, what made you leave Islam? For what reason did you leave Islam? What misunderstanding do you have with regards to Islam? So this person who had left Islam, he said, this difference of opinion, all these differences that exist within the scholars, that has made me leave the religion of Islam. So Ma'mun Rashid, who was a very knowledgeable person himself, he explained and he said, look, my brother, our ikhtilaf and our differences of opinion are of two types. Number one, those minor fiqhi differences, like how many numbers are there in the words of the adhan? What are the words of the adhan? We know that we hear the adhan in the Haramain Sharifain, in the Iqama, they only say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah once, and in our masjids we say it twice. So the amount of words, the number of words in the adhan, or how many takbirs there are in the Eid prayer, whether there are 6 extra takbirs, whether there are 7 extra takbirs, whether there are 9 extra takbirs. So Ma'mun Rashid, he says, in reality, these are not even differences of opinion. Rather, these are a means of flexibility and easiness in our Sharia. No one considers a person holding the opposite opinion to be a fasiq or to be a sinner. We don't call each other names. لا يتعايرون بذلك ولا يتعاتبون. Nobody rebukes each other. Nobody criticizes each other. There's nothing wrong with these differences of opinion. And then he goes on to explain that the second difference of opinion is in the understanding of certain ahadith, in the understanding of certain verses of the Holy Quran. And he said, if it is this that has made you leave the deen of Islam, then you should know that the same type of difference of opinion exists within the Christian community, within the Jewish community, and their scholars also differ when it comes to the interpretation of the Injil and the interpretation of the Tawrat. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't want it this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have revealed the Quran in such a manner that there would be no need for any tafsir, there would be no need for any explanation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intentionally used such wordings in the Holy Quran that will keep the doors of interpretation opened. And upon hearing this explanation, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this person was satisfied and he re-entered the fold of Islam. My dear friends, this issue of moon sighting is no different. This is one of those many things in which there is a difference of opinion. Now, I don't want to go into so much detail, but briefly I want to tell you why there is so much commotion with the moon issue here in the GTA. In my understanding, all the different masajid in the GTA, the Islamic organizations here in the GTA, they take one of 4 different approaches. We have one group of masajid that follow astronomical calculations. This group will declare the beginning of the month of Ramadan and they will declare Eid according to astronomical data. If it is possible to see the moon, if astronomical data is saying that it is possible to see the moon, then they will declare the beginning of Ramadan or they will declare the Eid. Now, this opinion of following calculations and following astronomical data, this is an opinion which was held by very few scholars in our history, but this is the easiest option for the Muslims in GTA. There is no need for anyone to look for the moon anywhere. We can decide the day of Eid and we can decide the day of Ramadan for many, many years in advance. However, the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sumu liru'yatihi wa aftiru liru'yatihi. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he very clearly said that start fasting upon the sighting of the moon and break your fast and commence with your Eid liru'yatihi upon the sighting of the moon. And based on this hadith, the majority of the scholars say that physical moon sighting must be done. In any case, there are certain masajid and certain organizations in the GTA who follow this method of calculations, and based on the possibility of sighting the moon, they will declare the beginning of Ramadan. Now, the second group which follows moon sighting. Now, obviously, each individual doesn't see the moon for themselves. Rather, in each community, rather in each city, there are a few people who go out and they look for the moon. And if they sight the moon, they give their testimony and the rest of the Muslims, they follow them. Now, how exactly does that happen? How far can we take someone's testimony from? If I live in Toronto, can I take the testimony of someone who lives in Ottawa? Can I take the testimony of someone who lives in Quebec? Can I take the testimony of someone who lives in Vancouver in British Columbia? Can I take the testimony of someone who lives in New York or in Chicago? So with regards to this, there are different approaches. One approach, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is the approach of certain masajid and certain Islamic organizations that follow whatever decision is made by the Saudi authorities. And this group says that Haramain Sharifain, the sacred cities Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara, are both situated in Saudi, and the Quran has called Makkah Mukarrama Ummul Qura, the mother of all cities and the mother of all villages. And based on that, they say we should follow the declaration of the Saudi government. But the reality, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that many senior scholars of Saudi Arabia themselves say that every country should follow their own sighting. And you can find these fatwa online if you look for them. Another issue with the Saudi sighting is that for 9 months throughout the year, the Saudi government does not declare the new month based on moon sighting. Rather, for 9 months throughout the year, they follow calculations and they follow the astronomical data. So what happens is that sometimes that creates a discrepancy in the calendar when it comes to the month of Ramadan, or when it comes for Eid, or when it comes for the month of Dhul Hijjah. And that is why certain times we hear in the news that the Saudi authorities, they changed the date at the end of the month. And I believe this is what happened this month as well, that the date was changed in the end of Sha'ban. Now, this is no problem for those people who are living in Saudi Arabia, or those people who have gone for Hajj and Umrah. But for those people living in other parts of the world who follow the moon sighting every single month, and every month is declared through the sighting of the moon, then it can become slightly problematic following the Saudi declaration. In any case, it is one opinion from the different opinions that are out there. Then, my dear respected brothers and sisters, there is another group of masajid, another group of Islamic organizations that follow local sighting. Now, here in the Greater Toronto Area, in the GTA, for the most part of the year, the sky is very cloudy and it isn't possible for us to sight the moon ourselves. So, If we were to limit ourselves to the GTA or to limit ourselves to Ontario, then it would be very difficult because we would never see the moon, or for 10 months out of the year, we would never sight the moon. So, out of necessity, we had to expand our parameters to neighboring provinces and neighboring countries who share the same time zone with us. They share the night with us. We have the night at the same time, and we can also get reliable reports from there within a suitable time. Now, those scholars who follow this opinion of local sighting, they expanded their parameters to South America, Panama, Barbados, Chile, and the United States as well, United States of America. And originally, the state of California, which is 3 hours behind us, was also included in these parameters. Now, this wasn't a problem when we had Ramadan in the winter, because in the winter, Maghrib time is very early. Maghrib time is 4:45, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Now, even though California is 3 hours behind us, but it was not very difficult to wait a couple of hours. Waiting a couple of hours meant to wait until 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at the latest, and there was no difficulty in waiting till 8 o'clock. But when the summer came along and Maghrib became very late, it became very difficult to wait till late at night for a report from California, especially back in the days when there was no social media, there was no WhatsApp, there was no email communication. Many times, what would happen is that the moon would not be sighted anywhere over here, and then we would have to wait till California, and California would make the report at our time, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night, and it would be very difficult to get the message across to everybody that late at night, and have everybody change their decision in the middle of the night. And for that reason, California was removed from the parameters, and California was not taken into consideration. Now, this opinion of local sighting is also supported by hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by hadith and by an incident that took place in the time of the Sahaba. One of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Quraib, he says that Ummul Fadl, which was one of the Sahabiyya, had sent him to visit Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu in Sham. Sham, which is modern day Syria. So he says that I went to Sham and I visited Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, and while I was in Sham, the month of Ramadan started, and we sighted the moon in Sham in Syria on Thursday night. So then he says, I completed my trip in Syria and I headed back to Medina Munawwara near the end of the month. When I came back to Medina Munawwara, Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, who was the governor of Medina at that time, he asked me, when did you guys commence the month of Ramadan? When did you guys see the moon? So he said that we seen the moon on Thursday night, and our first fast, our first sawm, our first roza was on Friday. So Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he asked me, O Quraib, did you see the moon yourself? Quraib said, yes, I seen the moon myself. So Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he replied that we seen the moon not on Thursday night, we seen the moon on Friday night. So we made our first fast on Saturday, and we completed the full month of Sha'ban, the 30 days of Sha'ban. So Quraib, he says that I asked Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, that are you not satisfied with our sighting and the sighting of Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu in Sham and Syria? Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, no, Muawiyah has his own moon sighting in Sham, and we will do our moon sighting. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. So this group who supports local sighting, this is the basis for that opinion, and this is also one of the valid opinions. The fourth opinion, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is the opinion of global sighting. Global sighting means that we can take a report from anywhere in the world as long as we are able to verify the report, and as long as that report is based on physical moon sighting. Now, this opinion is a valid opinion, and this opinion has always existed in the books of fiqh. But it was never really implemented previously in history. Rather, it was always theoretical, because never before was it possible to get a report from another country or even from another town within the span of a few seconds in one night. Now, today this has become possible due to technology. If the moon is sighted, for example, in South Africa, we can find out over here in Toronto within the span of a few moments. So although this opinion of global sighting had always existed, it was always in the books, it was never practical until today in this time of technology. Also, this opinion of global sighting only makes sense for those of us who live in North America. This opinion does not make sense for the people in India, Pakistan, Saudiya, those countries which are east of us. This opinion does not make sense, and this opinion is not practical for our brothers and sisters who live in the east. And that is why we don't hear of people practicing global sighting in those countries. And the reason being is that they are much ahead of us in terms of time. So if people in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Somalia, Sudan, and the Arab countries were to practice global sighting, what that would mean is that if they did not sight the moon, they would have to wait all the way for the people of the West, for South America and for North America, and wait for them to make a declaration. And obviously that would mean that they would have to wait 10 hours, 12 hours, which is completely not practical and does not make any sense. And that is why this opinion is not practiced in the countries in the East. However, Western countries like us here in Canada and places in the North America, because we are all the way at the end of the timeline, and we are the last people to have our night, it is possible for us to practice this opinion, because the most we have to wait is for the state of California, because that is the last place that we can get a reliable report from. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, this opinion of global sighting is also another valid opinion which exists in the books of fiqh. Now, should we go with global sighting? Should we go with local sighting when they are both valid opinions, when they are both correct opinions? Why can't all of us just go by one, either global sighting or local sighting? Those brothers who say that we should go with global sighting, the reason mentioned is that with global sighting, we will be able to get reports from other countries much, much earlier and earlier in the daytime. For example, if the moon is sighted in South Africa, then we will find out 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock p.m. Canadian time. And that will make it very easy for us to get our holidays from work, or to figure out what we are doing for the next day in terms of school and in terms of our work and our shifts and things like that. However, on the other hand, the downside is if the moon is not sighted anywhere in the east, then we have to wait till we get a report all the way from the west, which is California. And for this, we may have to wait till midnight. We may have to wait till 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12 o'clock, just as we had to do yesterday. However, because we do have access to social media, it's very easy to find out this information. And if the moon is sighted in California at 12 o'clock at night, we have no difficulty in getting the message across to everybody. Now, a lot of people say that, you know what, we have to stay awake till 11:30 and we have to stay awake till 12 o'clock. The fact of the matter is, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that this only happens twice a year. And most of us, there are many, many occasions when we have da'wats and when we have parties and we have family gatherings. And on many other occasions, we have to wait till 12 o'clock. We wait till midnight for many things anyways. A lot of us, people watch movies until 11, 12, 1 o'clock at nighttime, and nobody complains. And even recently, when the whole strike was happening, with the school boards in Ontario. We waited till 12 o'clock, and the government was going to make an announcement at 12 o'clock whether there was going to be school the next day or not. So there are occasions where we do have to wait, and waiting till 11:30, 12 o'clock, although it might be slight difficulty for some people, but for the overwhelming majority of the people, there is no real difficulty in staying awake till 11, 12 o'clock and waiting for the news. So this is what the group who follows global sighting say. And those who follow local sighting, they will say that why wait unnecessarily until 12 o'clock when we can make a decision at Maghrib time, we can make a decision at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. There's no reason to wait till 11:30, 12 o'clock for a decision. And another reason those brothers who support global sighting say that we should follow global sighting is with global sighting, there is a more chance and higher chances that our Ramadan will fall in line with those brothers and sisters who follow Saudi Arabia and those brothers and sisters who follow calculations. So there's a greater chance of uniformity in following the global sighting opinion. My dear respected brothers and sisters, everybody has their point of view. Everybody is pushing for what they consider to be the most correct and most practical solution for the Muslims of Canada. It is not an ego, it is not an issue of ego. It is not a struggle for power. It is not an issue of pride and no one wanting to step down. Yes, unfortunately, it does cause confusion. It does cause chaos. But again, it all depends on how we deal with it. If we the more we dramatize it, the more we make it into a big issue, the bigger issue it'll become. Especially when we want to forward every single message. We have an overload of information. We want to forward every single message that we get on every single WhatsApp group that we are on. This is where all the confusion comes from. And that is why yesterday, after Maghrib, I mentioned that the best thing to do is for everybody to wait for their respective masajid, for their respective organizations that they follow, to make a decision, and everyone abides by the decision of their local masjid. If you perform your salah at multiple masjids, some salahs you perform here, some salahs you perform there, then speak to a scholar whose ilm, whose knowledge and taqwa you have confidence in, and follow what they say. The reality, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that we don't have an Islamic government. We don't have a central authority who can impose a decision upon us. And because of that, we might not come to a uniformed opinion. Everyone feels very strongly, based on sincerity, based on ikhlas, what they think is better for the Muslim community. And we should acknowledge and we should accept that we have a very diverse community. Every organization has their way of thinking, and every organization decides what is best for their community. And inshallah ta'ala, there is nothing wrong with that. And if by chance Eid happens on two different days, and members of one family or members of one group of people, they are performing Eid on two different days, inshallah that doesn't happen. But if it happens, my dear respected brothers, that's fine. Those who are fasting, they can still go over to the houses of the family members who are celebrating their Eid, congratulate them, participate in the happiness of Eid with them, and inshallah we can cook special food on both days. We can celebrate our Eid on both days. If we really want to deal with this in a positive way, my dear respected brothers and sisters, we totally can. It's how we deal with it in our houses. Many times when we have parties and we have da'wats and we have invitations, there are some people in our families who do not eat meat. They are vegetarians, or they have some sort of sickness because of which they cannot eat certain types of food. They cannot eat very spicy food. So what happens? We don't exclude them from our parties. We don't exclude them from our gatherings. We make special accommodations. We honor their feelings, and we show courtesy towards their feelings. We make a special dish for them. We make a different dish for them. So just because we have different ways of practicing and different ways of doing things, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this does not mean we are disunited. The true place of unity is inside our heart. If we hold rancor and malice and hatred inside our hearts towards one another, we are constantly backbiting one another, using harsh language towards somebody who has a different opinion, then, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that is called disunity. But if we can have differences amongst us and we deal with those differences maturely and we still have love and respect in our hearts, then, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this difference of opinion will be a source of mercy for the ummah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, اختلاف أمتي رحمة. The difference of opinion that exists within my ummah, this is a source of mercy. But when will it be a source of mercy? It will be a source of mercy when we respect and we honor each other's opinions. And when we start swearing and quarreling and fighting with each other because of our differences of opinion, then, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this difference of opinion will be a source of azab for us instead of being a source of rahmah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He unites our hearts in this month of Ramadan. It's one day difference, 29 days, 30 days, we will all be together insha'Allah ta'ala. So let us spend our Ramadan in beneficial things, in useful things, things that will benefit us in this world and things that will benefit us in the hereafter. Let us focus on our a'mal, let us focus on the Quran, let us focus on making our fasts the best fast as possible, let us focus on our taraweeh, let us focus on our tahajjud, let us focus on our du'as and our supplication, and let us not spend too much time in these futile and these useless discussions going back and forth. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one day inshallah Allah ta'ala will give us all a uniformed Eid, and all the brothers and sisters who are making decisions in these different hilal committees, everyone is sincere, everyone is doing what they feel is best for the community, but we do pray that inshallah Allah ta'ala one day will come where we will all start Eid together, and we will commence our Ramadan together, and we will have our Eid together inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all love, mahabba, mawadda, and unity and brotherhood with one another. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Just a reminder that inshallah from today, every day after Salatul Asr at 7:15 inshallah, we will have a talk in the English language for 20 to 30 minutes. Thereafter, everyone will engage in their individual ibadah, in their preparations for iftar. Then 15 minutes before Maghrib, we will get together again, and inshallah, we will recite Durood Sharif and send salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together, and we will have a collective dua, and an opportunity will also be given for everybody to make their individual duas as well, and then inshallah we will have our iftar. Then after everyone performs their isha and their salatul taraweeh, once again we will get together at 11:30 p.m. and at 11:30 p.m. inshallah we will discuss the masail with regards to fasting, the masail with regards to zakat, and the masail with regards to salatul taraweeh. And if anybody has any questions, they can send their questions in through the Islamic Society of Toronto website, and inshallah there's a form over there, Q&A. If you click on that form, you will be able to submit your questions, and inshallah we will try and answer as many questions as we can. So inshallah, we hope to see everybody after Salatul Asr. Jazakumullahu khairan ahsan al-jaza. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.